Hello, and welcome to a Halloween special Shite Talk. Hey everyone. Myself and Kevin are just back from Cork, where we were doing a live episode down in Collins. So thanks to all the Cork people who came out and watched that instead of going to the Jazz Fest, because stupidly and unknowingly we went up against one of the biggest events that happens in Cork every year. So much appreciated. We'll be back again. The next live episode is up in Belfast. Tickets to that you can find in the link in the description of this, or just type it in. We're up in the Sunflower with Darren Matthews, so that should be a good one. And then we'll also have news for a Dublin gig soon enough as well. We'll be doing a Christmas special, so look out for that. I'm going to keep the intro pretty short just because it's been a long few days. We got caught in the rain on the way back from Cork. Couldn't get a bus back that night, so I got caught in the rain. Had to go back the next morning. Both of our laptops were gone a bit dodgy, so it's fair play to Kev for actually getting this episode edited. I don't have access to the proper microphone, so I'm doing this intro underneath my bed sheets with an old handheld recorder I'd had from years ago, so I don't know how this is going to sound, so apologies if it's a bit crap. Other than that, we've got that live episode from Cork behind the Patreon, or will do once I've edited it today, so you can go check that out, as well as with all the other live episodes we've ever done, the bonus specials, the cowboy specials. There's about 30 odd or more episodes there, so if you want to get access to all of that extra content, that's £5 a month. But also, if you don't want to support the Patreon or can't, you can just leave a review, tell friends, all that good free stuff that really helps us. And I think that is everything then for this week. Bye.
Gather around now, you're in for a story. Old tales of lore on the search of a glory. The history and mystery of lads, lasses and all. Discoveries and voyages, the rise and the fall.
Come with us to the mighty moon.
Did you ever watch like the live shows?
Yeah.
One of them,
when Bob Fosset spits in his face.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yes.
We are good friends.
Ah, yeah.
We've never talked about that before.
No, but that's it's the best. I used to watch that.
I'm going to fucking kill you after the show. You're fucking dead.
No feelings. What, Tony the Tentacle Man? Or whatever the fuck his name is. I'm Tony Tentacles.
Yeah.
And he gets stuck in that box and Bob Fosset spits in his face. Oh, that show.
That is real comedy.
I used to watch, I had the DVD.
You know the rabbit that comes out at halfway during the show or at random points in the show and starts humping Noel Fielding?
Oh,
he's meant to run away. Do you know who that is?
I thought that was his brother.
It's Johnny Burrell from Razorlight.
Is it? Oh, I had heard that before. Yeah. Or, yeah.
Anyway, but this is an Irish history podcast, isn't it?
It is, no. I used to watch that.
A fanciful English comedy.
The DVD of the first live show every morning before school. That's not true. Not every morning, but...
But before... I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have even had access to DVDs.
Yeah, it was only DVD.
Or a player. Or TV.
Yeah. Had it all. Yeah. Just watching them try and trip each other up really inspired my comedy. You know how I introduce you on stage most nights in the Hayfield and I just try and fucking...
Yeah, every time. For some reason, I've never brought it up, but I know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Just trying to... You know... Usually when people introduce acts, it's supposed to be really complimentary. It's all like, this guy's the best. He's a real up-and-comer. He's done all this, blah, blah, blah. I love him to bits. Here he is. He's amazing. Because when I introduce Jason, I'm like, this fucking homeless...
Stinky lumberjack looking fucking...
I found this man shouting abusive slurs in the local dumpling shop. And he said the only way he'd stop is if I give him 5 minutes. So... Here he is. But anyway,
Gary lit me yesterday just because he was tired and he wanted to go home. I was emceeing. For the non-comedians, or you can't be lit as the MC in your own club. I guess you can.
You can. It happened.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't doing too. It couldn't have been doing too long because I was only talking to everyone in the audience and it wasn't a full room.
Yeah.
So yeah. Good crack.
This is good fun. But anyway, so this is a Halloween story. Because it's Halloween.
Ooh.
tomorrow, maybe.
You're planning on editing this and having it out in a few days' time? Because it's nowhere near Halloween.
When's Halloween? Monday?
Monday.
Yeah. Well, this is probably out before then. Today's Thursday. I don't know how much. I think you might have heard this story before, or bits of it. But it's actually shockingly... We'll get into it anyway. It's very relevant to your life. But a lot of the story comes from the Dublin Penny Journal from November of 1832.
And just like, that's my birthday?
All the spookiest stories. They didn't write much details down. Mm. So it happened at some year that's fucking contradicted by several sources. But the Black Dog Prison. Did you ever hear of that?
Mm-hmm. I haven't, no.
No. I meant continue. It was set up in what was called New Hall Market at the time, but is now known as the Corn Market area of Dublin.
I know the Corn Market.
Yeah. It's on St. Augustus Street, right beside your house, on your old house, on Coot Street.
Yes.
So this whole story takes place...
Right beside where
on your street.
Fuck. Okay. Yeah. Oh, now I'm glad I left.
Yeah, this would be far more
scary. If you start telling me there was a ghost fox...
You'll wish by the end of this it was a ghost fox.
Because if I wasted half a bag of chips feeding a fox that wasn't even alive...
this is all... It's pretty much at the end of your street, beside the Brazen Head, all around that area.
Uh-huh.
There used to be a giant prison. It was built in the side of Brown's Castle, and that was turned into a tavern called the Black Dog. And then that eventually became a prison, which kept the name Black Dog.
So what year is this?
Unclear. It was at the early, some point in the 1600s.
Yeah, because I think the Black Dog, I think might have been one of the... Is that a pub that the Hellfire Club were drinking in?
Could have been.
Rings a bell. It would have been that area.
It rings a bell? No, you're thinking of the Christchurch.
Nothing in the Ring's End.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But at some point in the 1600s, the earliest reference to it as a prison is 1677. So the tavern would have been before that at some point, I guess. But it's a debtor's prison. But in 1700s, it's the main debtor's prison in Dublin. So if you owe someone money you can't pay, then the Black Dog prison.
Straight to jail.
Straight to jail. And the length of your prison stay was decided by your creditors. So that's a nice little twist.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Is that... Because all of those old laws, I'm trying to think of other ones you had to study in college for like one of the, some stupid law module, but the things of, if the taxi driver gives you, like, overcharges you on a fare, you're legally allowed to take him out of the taxi and whip him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that's still, I think, still in the law, but I think it's wrote in for like horses.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's still horses in Dublin, so you can do that to people.
Yeah, you try and fight those lads that run the fucking horses. But, I don't know, it might have just been for that prison. And it's just like a little quirk of, if you owe someone a load of money, they're like, they decide then how long, or it's definitely taken into account what they say as to how long you spend in this shithole of a prison.
I like that though.
And a shithole of a prison it was. It was run privately for profit. Prisoners had to rent their lousy beds for 1 shilling a night.
You had to rent the beds, you have to work then to pay off.
I don't think you could really work in the prison as well.
Ah, workhouses at the time, though.
This isn't the workhouse. This is a debtor's prison. A pay-for-play sort of thing. Yeah, maybe they were doing an odd job.
You paid for something. You know, right around the corner, what used to be?
What?
A big old brothel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's her name?
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Darkie Kelly.
Darkie Kelly's, yeah. How do you think so many of them ended up in the debtor's prison? Ran a bill. When was that at? Because this is a very haunted area, then.
That's known as a haunted area. There's plaques and stuff around it.
Yeah.
Dublin in general, because at the time it hadn't spread out as much. So the main area would have been there.
Yeah, main...
You would have had a lot of murders. I think I left out the Hellfire Club, like one or two murders they did or were linked to that would have happened around that, like thrown lads out of pubs and falling down onto spikes, Braveheart style.
Yeah. Okay, Darkie Kelly was early 1700s, so...
Overlap.
Well, this is all, yes, this whole area is like the Liberties, the working class, old area of Dublin, where it was mostly slums, and on the south side. So, take that, north side. But, when I said lousy beds there, that wasn't just for colour. I mean, the beds were infected with lice.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the best case scenario where you pay to get into that. If you can't afford that, which makes sense because you're in a prison for people who can't pay their creditors, you get stuck in the rat dungeon. And again, that's not color. It's a dungeon for rats.
Why would they let the rats in? Just leave it as a dungeon.
They're charging the rats. Yeah, you're getting money coming and going.
There's no rats on the weekend. They're Monday to Friday.
5 day a week job. Well, they unionized and went on strike. Then they had other rats break the picket. It was very confusing.
A lot of mice. You dirty rat. Yeah, look who's talking, buddy.
Yeah, look who's talking. Yeah, fucking rat workers out. They are out. Yeah, not those rat workers.
Out here with your tail between your legs.
Yeah. It was a pure nightmare trying to get the messages across. But yeah, the dungeon, 3.5 meters square by 2.5 meters high.
Wait, say it again?
That's not bad, really.
Was it 2.5 meters square?
3.5 meters by 2.5 meters.
That's grand.
It is actually grand.
I've paid like way good money for bedrooms way smaller.
The room we're in right now is probably that size.
I'd say even smaller.
Smaller. Okay.
Yeah, because it's not as long. It's not 3.5 wide. It's about 2.5 long. Mm, 3x3 maybe.
So this is telling us to when.
Well, actually, do you know what? I was watching I only got like 10 minutes in because I got distracted by something else. Because of ADHD. But I was watching Bachelor's Walk on the Real Player last week.
Oh, yeah.
And the opening scene in the first episode is like a woman coming in looking for to rent a room. And they show her around. And it's obviously like, oh, it's horrible living conditions. How could you possibly imagine? And that's the big joke. Yeah. I'm looking at it going, it's a fucking steal, this lucky bitch with her. They're like, you walk into a room and we haven't fully painted the wall. It is like 5 meters by 5 meters. It's fucking huge. And they're like, it's going to be like 400 quid a month. And she's like, I don't know if I could do that.
I don't know if I'd.
And they're like, and you'd have to take it for a guaranteed year. They're like, that would be, what the fuck are you? How times have changed.
I don't know when this is written, but yeah, like a 3.5 meter by 2.5 meter hellhole with only two rats.
Now, you didn't say how tall it is, though. What if the ceiling's only like one?
No, it is two and a half meter tall.
Oh, tall. I think it's wide.
It's 3.5 meters square. So
square. Gotcha,
length,
gotcha.
Breadth, and 2.5 meters tall. That is pretty, actually.
That's too tall. It's going to get cold.
That's decent, yeah. So anyway, they're trapped in this pretty reasonable box, you know. It's not a bad size. The only light that was coming in was the light through the sewer that ran past it, though. So it's not ideal. In the description I was reading of it, it talked about the sewer running past it, and it said, it made the atmosphere almost insupportable, which is a very flary way of saying it's an absolute fucking shithole.
Mm-hmm.
Why, if one more brick was out of place, I'd say this atmosphere was almost insupportable.
How much money would you have to owe before you'd go in here?
I don't know.
Like a fiver between friends? Or are you talking like thousands? Is it business deals?
It probably not a lot, really. I mean, well, like if a bed is 1 shilling and that's seen as unobtainable to a lot of them, I'd say maybe 2 shillings of debt.
Yeah, instead of putting them into jail and making them pay for it, send them out to the fields, make them work, and pay off their debt.
Actually, these are all Dublin Jack Eanes. They wouldn't know.
Soft hands.
Soft hands. If you put them in a field, they'd be like, put me in the rat prison. Get me out of here. Get me out. Scared of a day's labour. If you can't tell, myself and Jason are currently in Cork. And obviously, as we've moved away from Dublin, we have to, it's like code switching. In order to fit in, you have to start badmouthing the capital city where all the things and services are.
I was doing that last night before. Right. I was trying to flyer people into the gig, and then I kept, because we were gigging in Cork tonight, and I was like, get the fuck out of this hellhole. It's only good for one night. Tonight's grand, don't worry about that.
Tomorrow, get the fuck out of it. I was tagging the Cork people last night because I don't know what his name is. Some politician in Waterford recently called O'Connell Street a kip.
Wexford, I think was it.
Wexford, yeah. I don't know what happened in his constituency that week. Did he run over a baby? It's just such an, like, of course O'Connell Street is a kip. And then everyone gets on the radio and they're like, it's a disgrace talking about our capital city in tones. It's like, fucking, who gives it? It is a shithole.
It really is.
O'Connell Street's a dump. Even if it wasn't for all of the, I think he got in trouble for using the phrase junkies or druggies, maybe.
Yeah.
If there was no one on the street, it'd still be a shithole. Yeah, it's just Burger King, Supermax, McDonald's, and fucking shoe shops. And then Mr. Quirky's gambling drug time emporium.
We should go there.
We should go there. But even if there was, even if everyone was being a model citizen, it's still a dump. There's no reason to go there.
Yeah, it's bad.
What, fucking spire?
It's noticeably.
They're closing down the GPO as well. Like, there's no reason to be down there. But I was walking around Moore Street, Parnell Street the other day. Grand.
Henry Street's nice.
There's nice spots. Ish. But like, then you go back to like these times when men were getting murdered in the Liberties. Like, what happened to... Did you see the video going around there the other day of just a load of teen fighting each other? One of them throws a bike. And
you're thinking where we work in Temple Bar. Yeah, that's not a video, Kevin. They're your eyes.
I know. But you see, it's like somewhere in the city center or down around like Sheriff Street. And everyone's like clutching their pearls and being like, oh, what's happened to Dublin? It's gone to the dogs. Do you mean the place that there's been gang violence since the, as we'll find out, 1700s? I think it's just a lot of country people move to Dublin and then are shocked when they see...
That's what some major cities are like.
Just
it's every city in the world is going to have that element. But because you say Cork doesn't have too much parts of it, it does.
I walked through Cork last night, I'll tell you this. The exact fucking same.
It's not the exact same.
I was walking around. It wasn't that late.
You seeing youths?
Youths out of it, just shouting at each other. Came across
but
the
these
guard.
These ones had
stealing
hurlies,
someone
not knives.
Passed out. Yeah, it's the same fucking stuff. Anyway, if you're a rural politician, you want to get out of trouble, just call Dublin a shithole. That'll buy you some time for a while. As true today as it was in the 1700s, when we're talking about this black dog prison, where a man could get thrown into... Just for owing some other fella money.
Is that why people refer to depression as the black dog?
Well, maybe, actually. We'll figure it out by then.
Because you're in a prison of Des Moines.
Des Moines. There was a section of the prison called the Nunnery, because it was used to hold prostitutes who'd been captured by the parish watch.
Hmm.
Which, I don't know how true that was. As we just talked about, there was a very famous brothel operating at the same time right across the road. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, maybe when they meant a section of the prison, they meant... the active brothel that was across the road. But so unlike today, a private for-profit prison in the 1700s could be abused for power. In 1729, the head jailer, John Hawkins, was tried for mismanagement and corruption. There were different times when power would go to a man's head, and if he thought, you know what, the more people that are in jail, the more money I can make. What if I start fucking arresting people? So the House of Commons found him guilty of... the most notorious extortion, great corrupt... I don't know why they went with that accent. The most notorious extortion, great
They're
corruption...
not that either.
...and other high crimes and misdemeanors in the execution of his said office had arbitrarily and unlawfully kept in prison and lauded with irons persons not duly committed by any magistrates till they had compiled with the most extortionate demands and had put into dungeons and endangered the lives of many prisoners from debt under his care... treating them and all others in his custody with the utmost insolence, cruelty, and barbarity in high violation and contempt of the laws of this kingdom. How many accents?
You've done four, I think. Three or four.
Scottish was in there.
Your own was
hell.
You dropped everything for a little while and then you went back to
it. Yeah, I love listening back to those bits because in my head I'm like, even I'm aware that's bad, it's always worse when I listen to it. Anyway, he was fired. Well, I can do it in. We got the Brian Cox accent down.
Yes.
The other day. We were watching.
Not the Brian Cox you're thinking of.
We were watching the first 20 minutes of Zodiac. And,
would you like me to do that for you, Sam?
Sam. Do you want me to do that for you, Sam? The most notorious.
People in your position, Sam.
The Walker program was set up to find the mutants, Sam. Logan. You're a. Zodiac.
Your superpowers.
Don't you want to find out who the Zodiac is, Logan?
I've noticed that. If I do it for too long, though, all of my accents that were sent this the other day, if I have like a really deep voice,
yeah.
If any of the accents have a deep voice, eventually I will just slip into Buffalo Bill. Like, would you do me?
I'd
do me. He says, fuck me.
He does.
Yeah, I didn't want to curse on the podcast.
Of course not.
But now I've done it anyway. Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me. Doo-doo. I'd fuck me so hard.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Anyway, maybe we should watch Silence of the Lambs after this. But anyway, that's John Hawkins. He was fired for abusing. I mean, yeah, because there's no oversight, really. He was just throwing people in prison and then be like, yeah, how about I let you out of the rat hole when you give me some money? Which is a pretty good grift. Mm-hmm. But they fired him and he's probably rehired somewhere else as a consultant for prisons. But that's not what our story is about. Our story is set in the year 1788, maybe. But it's irrelevant because it's far enough in the past. It's the past time.
Is it far, like the different years? How far are we? Like,
I saw the 1750s.
All right, then that's too much.
Nah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, we'll just go with 1788.
Mm.
There was a man by the name of Oliker, and he was tried for
rape. Oliker? I hardly even know her.
Well, if only he'd take that approach, because he was tried for rape and murder. How do you feel about that now?
I don't like those either of those things.
Yeah. Which, again, in the sources from like the 1820s, it was like, he was tried for the utmost horrible of crimes, taking a woman's purity.
Well, in fairness, at that time, because that's not like now.
Yeah.
Whereas no one's bringing forth, like, if he's been brought up for rape in the 1770s, you can guarantee, like, that's a very violent crime.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure if, like, to get tried for that, it has to be, you have to murder them as well.
Oh, yeah.
And even then, they might try and knock off the first one.
But, yeah, he was found guilty and sentenced to death. So he's been held over in Black Dog Prison, which I guess is also a regular prison and not just for debtors. But when the day of his execution came, they went to drag him out of his cell and bring him to Gallows Green, which I'm not entirely sure where. I think that was on Bagot Street, which I think in the Darky Kelly story, that's where they're bringing someone to get executed as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds right.
That sounds right. I don't know. But there was, because I was looking up, there was different execution sites. Stephen's Green as well, apparently, used to be
big old execution site. Yes, it was one of the big ones.
There's one on Thomas Street. Maybe not at this time. That's where Robert Emmett was killed. That might have been a one-off.
Just a pop-up hanging shop?
Just a pop-up hanging shop. That's what Thomas Street is all about these
days. Just in for the summer, lads.
Yeah.
Not it's too long-term.
Just, you're just popping up in this space that could be utilized properly by a shop. But no, we'll just be in there once a month to execute one lad, and then we're off again. Well, anyway, they went down to drag him out for his execution.
I'm sure they'd get a proper brick and mortar eventually. Maybe do well, try and expand. All of a sudden, energy crisis comes at the same time. And then you're leaving me with no fucking vegan chicken rolls.
No, yeah.
There's no options anymore. I hate them now. I hate all vegans because of that sandwich shop closing.
I know. That's the real horror. The vegan sandwich shop is closed down. But, well, they go to drag him down to Bagot Street to execute him for his crimes. And they find out he's already dead. Dead in his cell.
He's a zombie. He's a ghost.
Oh, don't get ahead of the story. They're going to get him out of his cell. He's slit his own throat with a knife.
He stabbed himself in the back 5 times. He's broke his own legs.
And the security that were meant to be on, asleep at the time, and the security cameras turned off mysteriously.
Did they have any presidential couple visitors?
He had a little black book with a load of names that he was going to bring up before he was executed. Disappeared. But he's dead. They're all kind of annoyed. They see it as that he's escaped justice somehow. I'm not really sure.
He's dead.
Yeah, but they're about to hang him. And they're like, well, we didn't get to kill him. He killed himself.
Yeah. Also, people would have been paying in at the time.
That's the real thing. Yeah, you got customers coming there. I mean, think of that. Nowadays, it's a pain in the ass to refund tickets.
But nobody,
how would you even get the word out?
Nobody knows what this guy looks like. Just take some other random fella.
Exactly. Bring him up, hood in the head, hang him anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. People would probably piss.
Take someone else from the jail.
Yeah. Fix someone random.
Or just bring him up there with a bag over his head.
Yeah.
And just like prop him up and carry him up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just hang him again.
Post office in Carlo style. Bring him up there. That'd be fun, actually. Yeah. Just if they go, just knock on someone else's cell and be like, hey, it's your lucky day. You're getting called up to the big leagues. But so they're a bit annoyed, and then there's an investigation into like how he got a knife. Although from the sounds of the description of this jail, it feels like Ben could die at any time. I mean, there's open sewage, rats running around. It doesn't seem that surprising that you'd open a jail cell and it's like, oh, what's that? Yeah, nature's taking its course.
He's dead. But if he's slit his throat though, like the
Yeah, that's a bit more who gave him the knife? How'd all this happen?
Did he get a birthday cake recently?
Yeah. Yeah, the birthday cake in the shape of a knife. But they're put off anyway. He's done their job for them. Because you have to hire the fucking hangman anyway.
Yeah.
They're getting paid, you know.
And as you know,
hour or part thereof, the whole day. But they get over it. Well, they host an investigation.
Invented in Carlo. Or perfected in Carlo.
What?
The hangman.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, the guy who created the algorithm.
The algorithm, yeah. But anyway, they're put out, they launch an investigation into how this happened and then probably give up on it because who gives a shit?
Mm.
But the next night, after Oliker's mysterious death, one of the sentries was at his post near Cook Street.
Oh.
Where you lived. When he began to scream.
It is actually pretty scary there with the St. Aidan's Church.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And the drug violence.
Yeah. So that's how you know that I've moved to Inchicore since then. And like when Mrs. was over, she's like, "Yeah, this is such a nicer area." I'm like, "Inchicore's not that nice." She's like, "It's so much nicer."
It's
than
much, much nicer. Yeah,
the fox was cool though.
Well, we'll see by the end of the story how cool you think that fox was.
It really—it's a testament to me that I can live in the worst places in Ireland and not give a shit. I did get very depressed.
When you said you live there and not give a shit, you'd routinely come out and be like, "Man, I need to get out of this fucking place." You'd go for walks and just see like the most inner city horrendous shit and come down to me and be like, "Man, this fucking, I need to leave Dublin now." Yeah, you know, it's a testament to me that I can live anywhere and just be crippling depressed by it.
Yeah, but didn't let it get to me.
I didn't let it get to me.
Mentally and physically.
It didn't affect me at all. I just drank my way through it and complained. God, I'm glad you got there before me, because it was like that. You did not take it well at all. You took it how anyone would take it, very badly.
Yeah, I was in a really bad place there for a while.
Yeah,
and the apartment wasn't much better.
So I have a picture of it somewhere. Remember, yeah, because on Cook Street, remember all those houses went up for sale at the same time.
Yeah,
different real estate companies. Mm. What's that about?
All just have a different route.
But like if it was one,
if you were
you think it was
if
a development.
You were diversifying your assets and trying to, well, if they're all individual people, then
yeah, they're all in, but if it was one, you'd think that the place had been bought over by like an apartment complex and they're going to bulldoze it or something.
Mm.
But because it was different ones, they're all selling off individually. The real answer is probably it's a real shithole and a bad place to live. But
yes,
we don't know. Anyway, back in the 1700s, it wasn't much different. This man, he's screaming. He's on sentry duty. Something's happened. All the rest of the security rush down to see what's going on, and they find him slipping out of consciousness, attacked as if by a beast. When he regains consciousness, he was half paralyzed from his injuries, but he could still speak, although he was left with only one thing to say.
I've had a stroke.
Because it really sounded like he'd had a stroke.
No, he's been skewered. And he says that he was mauled by an enormous demon pig.
Man bear pig.
So, you know, he's pretty shook up about it.
Giant pig.
Now, what did would you it see, be... old man? Godzilla.
Would it be crazy at the time to have like boar in Dublin? There's the boar's head, I know that.
Yeah, apparently not. Yeah, there was a lot of pigs around at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's shook up. He's been attacked by a giant black demon pig. Over the next few days, rumors of the demon pig spread. Guards refused to man that post. They were scared out of their wits, and they started to swear that they had seen ghostly black pigs walking around the grounds. Naturally, the lads put two and two together and realized that the black ghost pig was none other than Ollacar, back from the dead. I'm sure you got there before them.
Now, I imagine... No, you keep going. I don't want to jump to conclusions yet. I don't want to ruin the fun.
Jump to a conclusion. Well, so what... Okay. What other evidence do you need? This guy died mysteriously.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, a black pig shows up and skewers a guy.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to believe here?
A pig attacks a man. But that's... Yes. But he wasn't in a cell? How did the pig get in there?
No, the pig... He's a ghost, so he can go anywhere, first of all. Jot that down.
Forgot he was a ghost pig.
But the guy is on sentry duty, so I don't know. He's outside, or he's walking around the grounds of the prison.
Even the grounds of the prison would be like a wild boar.
Yeah. Well, it's a ghost, a demon pig.
That's true.
You're not using your head.
I'm kind of thinking that it's a regular pig, and then like Chris Crowd theory makes everyone else go, "Oh, one person said it was a pig. Oh, Jesus, doesn't that shadow over there look like a pig?"
Yeah, I mean. Probably, but...
Because it's a pig shadow.
I mean, you're working in a prison. It's the 1700s. I think even they're aware that it's a pretty spooky time. So they're all starting to see this pig. They're all getting freaked out. They begin to speak in trembled tones of the Dolliker, which I assume is just a bastardization of the Dolliker in a way that a Dublin person would say it at the time.
The Dolliker.
Have you seen the Dolliker? And then it would become the Dolliker, which is just like... The Ollacar. But anyway, most of the sightings are around that Cook Street post, and most of the men refused to go near it. It was the most haunted place. Apart from one guy, he dismissed the rumors as madness and went down to man the post by himself. In a horror film, that's a dead man walking.
Yeah.
Everyone's scared out of their wits, and he's like, there's no ghost pig. Come here, you idiots. I'll man this post alone. That's like when anybody other than Commissioner Gordon is in charge of the police in Gotham City. Who's this guy? Oh, yeah. His name's not Commissioner Gordon. I won't pay much attention to this character. I have a feeling he won't be around for long. Or like when a father figure, an elderly father figure, gives advice that the protagonist doesn't listen to.
That's usually, yeah, you're thinking Peter Spider-Man.
No, especially when there's like a gruff father figure who's kind of like a distant figure, and then they can open up for a minute and give you some advice, and you're like, no way, and you walk off. You've just killed that man.
Maybe that's why Irish men don't open up.
That is why. The second you open up to a young figure that looks up to you, you die to teach them a lesson.
Mm-hmm. You try to give sage advice, all of a sudden, sage is me too, and you.
There you go.
All I said was smile, darling. Maybe we're a halter top now and again.
He'd get more tips. So he heads off to man the post by himself. Sure enough, the next morning, they go down to checking him. There's nowhere to be found.
Hmm.
They find what looks like him, but realize it's actually all of his clothes and gun. He's disappeared without a trace. Eaten alive, perhaps, by a ghost pig.
But it would have... and then it just left back out all of his clothes.
Yep. To prank them.
Fashionable pig.
Mm-hmm. The pig doesn't want to get buttons and stuff in a suggestive tract.
That's
now, you could go sifting through pig shit afterwards, but you don't want to do that, do you?
You don't want to do that, do you? No, that's where straight away my mind went to snatch. I was like, a pig will eat anything.
Yeah.
So those clothes should be...
Well, it doesn't go through buttons. Isn't that what he says? Bricktop?
Bricktop. Yeah, but it would have eaten the rest of everything.
No, that's true. Anyway, more than that...
Filthy animals. Even if very cute. But I know someone...
Cute?
Yeah, I know someone who collects pigs. Like pig things, not pig, it doesn't have the animal itself.
Yeah, but pig things are often a lot cuter than actual pigs.
Pigs, oh no, for sure. Yeah.
Well,
I'll tell you what's not cute. I remember it was in Vietnam with a friend, and I was like, just drop into it. It was like street food, so some old lady cooking. I was like, just give us that. It's soup with like broth and just a lot of bits and pieces in it.
Yeah.
And then as I was nearly finished it, but I turned over this one big chunk of meat that was left, and I realized it wasn't meat, it was a full snout.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was like, I knew my friend hadn't seen it yet, and she wouldn't have enjoyed that at all. And I was like, how do I, while sitting at the table with her, manage to take an entire pig snout out of her bowl without her knowing? And the answer is, there is no way to do that.
Oh, yeah. How'd you feel when she found it?
Disgusted.
Yeah. Which is bizarre, because...
You know what you're eating. Like, it's just...
It's still the same animal, but you're like, ah! Oh,
yeah,
this bit of it's...
People feel like that with sheep's head, because I've had sheep's head
in
Iceland, and it's. But I understand it, because it's not good. That's why you should be put off by it. It's not that it's like the head of a sheep, it's that it's not, it's real fatty and shite.
Yeah. Or chicken feet, that's another bit that people don't like here, but as a delicacy. A little bit. I have a note written at the back, at the end of this, that like pigs are nature's loser, evolutionary-wise. They're meant to be very intelligent.
Mm.
They are delicious in several forms. They don't produce milk in any way that's useful to humans.
Yes, you just have to fat them up and kill them.
Yeah, yeah, they're just delicious and smart. It's a bad combination.
Yeah.
No, and ugly.
I'm doing all right.
Delicious, smart, and ugly. We call that the Brennan. But, yeah, so they found the guard dead, disappeared without a trace, presumed dead. But no one gives a shit about him, because a citizen, some woman, shows up the same morning to report she'd been attacked by a black pig just outside the prison that tried to bite her. So now, things have gotten out of hand. They've escaped the prison walls.
Yeah, it feels like there's a wild boar.
Yeah. A wild
demon
boar.
Because of that other one, because the fact that... What if the guard just took off all of his clothes? And just left him on the ground.
Why would he do that? It's cold.
Yeah, disappear.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just tired. Tired of being a guard. Can you go?
Tired of being a guard. Yeah, I suppose.
Maybe it's a tough job.
So instead of leaving with a pension or anything like that, he's just like, you know what I'll do? Fake my death.
But maybe it's a time before a pension. Maybe it's a case of like the guards are, hey, you want to leave? There's only one way, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're right. I don't know why I thought they'd have a good pension scheme in the Black Dog debtors prison.
Hey, look, buddy, if you can manage to make it to 32,
yeah,
you got 6 months of money coming straight to you.
Yeah, you know, the dental's not great, but the retirement plan is pretty reasonable. You get shot in the back of the head so that you're not a burden to your wife and 7 kids. But so it begins, the winter of 1788, possibly. The Dublin working class area of Deliberties became full of nightly screams from women attacked by this mysterious ghost pig. One pregnant woman even suffered a miscarriage after she was attacked by the demon pig. People were scared out of their wits. This went on like for the whole winter. People were terrified of this roaming demon pig, the ghost of Alacar, out for revenge for being rightly tried for his crimes. It got to the stage where if a pig was difficult to kill, people would start to freak out and think it was they had the demon pig. People would shout stuff like, oh, they have him now, them are the boys, the devil's cure to the ugly beast. And they'd murder the pig, and then someone else would get attacked by the demon pig, and they'd be like, oh shit, that was just a pig.
Yeah. Oh my god, I feel so bad.
Oh no, this fucking
devil. He could have, there's weeks left. It could have fattened this up even more.
But then the springtime came around, the days grow longer, the nightly attacks begin to ease off thanks to the grand stretch in the evenings.
Mm.
Well, but then in 1970, the next year. Oh, sorry, what were you saying?
I was just thinking there about pigs and their meat.
Yeah.
Like, rashers, fair enough. And outside of that, obviously like pork chops and stuff, but like, is there any other meat that's disrespected as much as pork?
Sausages?
Yeah, but like sausages, like I think the legal term is like 8% has to be actual meat. And of that, like a percentage can be like fat and grizzle and different things.
Yeah.
So, like what, you've never had 100% pork sausage. Whereas like steak or beef, you know, like hamburgers, you know, yeah, can be a lot of stuff put in it as well. But just pork is usually not had in its full form that often.
I suppose times are different, but I remember my history teacher in secondary school swore off sausage. He worked in a pig factory for a summer. He was like, never ate sausages again.
No, yeah, I remember seeing
it. What's the phrase of like, yeah, you don't, it's people get disturbed by how the sausage is made.
There was a documentary basically about that on Channel 4 years ago. I remember seeing it. I've been like, yeah.
Yep.
German sausages are nice. Like our sausages and hot dogs in America, just all disgusting. But give me a bratwurst or a currywurst.
Yeah. I mean, these people, so this, there was a lot of pigs around the Liberties at the time. People kept them.
Still are.
A lot of chauvinists. But, yeah, people kept them and ate them. But, yeah, things eased up for the year of 1798. But then as the winter started to draw in again, on nights, not unlike this night.
It's daytime.
I know it is, but it's called ambiance, you fucking... Not unlike this night, when the rain is pouring down, the wind's howling. Excellent, thank you. The foggy nights came back in again. The pan-African accents.
Bang! Bang!
But yeah, so the pig came back. Started to attack again, hungry for blood. The attacks became increasingly brutal and savage. Who's to say if that's true? It just ramps up the story. It's called good storytelling. It got to a stage where a group of lads were sitting in a tavern on Cook Street one night. Maybe the Brazen Head. Purportedly the oldest pub in the country, which is a lie.
It's definitely a lie.
Definitely a lie. That's Sean's Bar, Athlone. Great spot.
And if it is the oldest bar, Brazen Head, you'd imagine by now they've paid off the fucking lease. So why are you charging me £7 for a pint?
Yeah.
That's a dynasty at this stage. You could be charging, they could be legit one of the few places charging £3 to £4 a pint and making a profit.
Yeah. Anyway, they're all sitting in the pub. They all come up. They're all swapping war stories about the pig. All the attacks that have been happening over the past year and a half. All the horrible stories. And eventually they all get riled up and they decide to form a vigilante group and go out and murder every pig they can find.
Evil dies tonight.
Exactly.
Evil dies tonight.
Yes. Except instead of a group of people becoming insane vigilantes over one or two murders that happened 40 years ago, this is an act of...
You keep saying one or two murders.
Because I thought there was different timelines now.
There are.
Yeah.
There always has been.
But in that timeline, how many people has Mike Myers murdered?
Oh, at least five or six for
five, sure. Right, so a serial killer. That's not a lot.
Like under... No, it is, because three is a serial killer.
Yeah, but that's not a lot.
But he killed his babysitter, and then he didn't know... Because you forgot this.
I'm basing a lot of this off of Brian and James's telling of it. And in their mind, it's like, 9/11 has happened since then. Like, the 1,000 acres. Like, lots of much more historic events have happened. It'd be hard to remember a serial killer who was around in the 80s. Certainly to form up a vigilante mob.
No, because it's the people who'd been attacked by him that set up the mob, so they remember.
They remember.
Yeah, they're personally, like...
connected.
Yeah.
Just like these people in this pub. They go out, kill all the pigs that they can find. They're stabbing them and cutting them and kicking them over. And they're like, you know what? We probably got him. And then the next morning...
You see one of the pigs rising up like Mike Myers.
Well, no, you didn't see them rise up. In fact, you didn't see any pigs at all. All the bodies were gone. Disappeared.
Okay.
As if by demon.
I feel like you're just throwing demon in occasionally to make it a Halloween.
What do you mean? Whatever demon. So one night, dark and stormy, not unlike tonight.
It is pretty windy outside. Okay.
Yeah, it's also bright. As a blacksmith, he's making his way home. He's been drinking at a pub, tying one on, and it's raining outside. He's about to head out when someone who works in the bar is like, here, you fucking get your head wet. Why don't you borrow this cloak, my widow's cloak? So the blacksmith puts it on. You know, reluctantly, he's worried that his friends might call him gay.
Yeah.
But, you know, he does it anyway because it's raining. He heads off. He's walking through the rain, through the liberties.
Can't get out of the pub. Everyone's going, come on, I'll buy you a pint. Come over here. Look, you sit down here beside me.
Down. Now, where are you going? Right. Even though this person hasn't been talking to them all evening, they detect that he's moving out of the corner of their eye. And they're like, where, Paddy, sit down.
I was thinking, because as soon as, like, you put a cloak on, All of a sudden, you're dressing a little more feminine.
Yeah.
I think back to, like, sessions from years ago, like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And you'd look over when you're just completely out of it, and you'd look over at the couch at the back of someone's head, and you're like, who's this random girl who showed up to the... She hasn't been here for hours. Who's she? I should probably go talk to her. And you go over and you realize that it's Dan, our producer. Like... In an incredible amount of times that's happened.
Ah, yeah.
To everyone in our friend group.
Yeah. Things get blurry at that time of the night. But maybe, yeah, he's fighting off advances as he heads out the pub. But fighting off advances soon, he's fighting off something else. He hears the dreaded footsteps behind him, the snarl of a pig. And he's attacked by a demon pig. He spins around to see a creature with the face of a pig, but the body of a man.
he saw an Irishman.
And the legs of... he just saw a pig, some sort of pig man. What is that Fight Like Apes album? It's one of the best names for an album. It's a Body of Christ, Legs of Tina Turner. Yeah. But he's found the man bear pig. It attacks him, but this isn't no comely maiden. He's accidentally attacked this blacksmith.
But he'd been attacking men before.
Yeah, not really. He's mostly women.
He attacked a male guard in a prison.
Yeah. And
you're going hard right there.
No, yeah. That's like, he starts off hard and then he realizes, you know what? It's actually easier if I just sneak up on women for the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So like, after the initial centuries, he's just sneaking up on like women through the liberties. But now he's accidentally attacked the blacksmith, starts beating the shit out of him. The commotion brings more people over.
He's lucky he didn't attack a butcher. He would have been fucked.
He would have been fucked. He was like, that's my order sorted for the rest of the month. Well, it's possible because of the widow's cloak. that he thinks it's a woman that he's attacking, the bear pig. But Blacksmith starts hitting them, beating them up. The commotion brings a lot of other lads over to help. Presumably, if it was a woman, they would have just been like, ah, you know, just let this play out.
Let sleeping pigs lie.
Yeah, but now that it's a big, burly blacksmith and the job's half done, they're like, yeah, fucking, yeah, come on, let's go. Now that I'm in no danger, I'll swing a dig in and say that I helped.
Hold me back.
So they all run over and start helping him finish the job. And when the police arrive, you know, fucking eventually, you know, probably takes them half an hour, and there's a fucking guard a shop down the road. I have no idea. Anyway, they show up. When they arrive in the scene, they take a look at the man pig. And in possibly the first ever occurrence of a Scooby-Doo episode, they realize it's not a man pig at all, but a man in a mask.
What?
Yeah. Wearing the head and skin of a black boar. But when they take off the mask, it's the sentry. From the prison.
No.
He did take all his clothes off and run away.
What?
Yeah.
He's class.
Yeah. So instead of it being a demon
He did
pig,
get bored of being a guard.
Well, he wasn't a demon pig from the depths of the underworld, hell-bent on revenge. It was just some man that worked in a prison.
Who lost his mind.
He just got fucking bored. Well, he didn't lose his mind. When they brought him to the hospital and started interrogating him, he'd confessed to planning the whole thing. He'd helped Oliker commit suicide. Now, I'm not sure if that meant he just stabbed him. Maybe he gave him the knife.
Yeah.
He started the rumor of the Dolliker. He'd set it up so that he was the sentry out there, took his clothes off and ran away. He was the one who riled up the vigilante group to go kill all the pigs and then cleared them away the next day to create more intrigue. Fuck. And he did it all because he loved raping and robbing. I think it said that he loved Robin, but I think he just used it as an excuse to go around and attack women. But all under the guise of being a demon pig.
But now are you worried that you've uncovered this that we'll have no money for the electricity for winter?
Why?
This is the Father Ted Sheep episode.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
So what's the punishment for that? Does he have to go into jail, the jail he used to work in? Because that's going to be a tough one. There's movies made about that.
Yeah, what's that? Prison Break season.
Stephen Graham.
Two or three.
Sean Bean.
Oh, yeah.
That was very good.
That was very good. What was it called? Time?
Yeah.
I'm up in Jug.
I just haven't seen the last episode, I just realized.
Have you not? There's only three episodes.
Yeah, I know.
The last episode is the only episode that's about him going back to prison.
Yeah, I know that happened because my dad saw it. I was watching it weekly with him, and then I missed the last one. I was like, oh, we could just watch it on, like, stream it. And it wasn't back that specific day. It was on RT.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what that means.
Of course.
So he's like, I'm just watching it without you.
Yeah, that's fair. Ah, you'll be all right, kid. Is that all right? Just keep your head down and Jug.
God, he's fucking good.
Yeah, he is great. And Sean Bean. A great show. Anyway, I don't know, actually, to be honest. It doesn't say what happens to him. I think he probably died. He's probably dead by now, we can say that much.
Or walk away.
Yeah, they might be like, you know what, you had us.
I wouldn't have admitted to it. I wouldn't have. Also, just don't tell him your methods, leave him guessing.
Yeah,
like the Prestige, you don't want anyone to ever know your cool methods.
No,
you know, you don't cast your pearls before swine.
Yeah, there you go. But it doesn't really make what. Yeah, was he just hanging around then? Because he's, where would he live?
He still lived in where he lived.
Yeah, so then he's not. But
there's no one knew probably where he lived. It was a job.
It's probably just a job. So he faked his own death and then just hung around pretending to be a pig.
Yeah, for a year or two?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah. That's fair play.
It's not, no sort of a life at all, really.
For you.
Maybe.
But for a man who's only ever wanted to be a man bear pig,
yeah,
out assaulting women, he's doing pretty well.
It's prime time. But that's pretty much. I had one note that the Scooby-Doo music, because this is remarkably like a Scooby-Doo story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo music from like the original 60s show. It's great. I'm going to play you a snippet here and we'll put it into the episode. It's just, I think back then when people didn't know what television was and they put way too much effort into everything, even these like shitty cartoons, people would like hire orchestras to write music for the show that no one gave a shit about.
Well, that was a huge show.
It was a huge show, actually. People do still give a shit about it, but... Thank you. you even remember this song being in it?
Not really.
Not at all.
No.
I don't.
Is this just in honor of Cork Jazz Fest?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It sounds like the kind of beat that's about to drop and two white guys are going to start rapping.
Yeah. Me and you. But it's, I don't know, I came across it a while ago. I was like, this is fucking, it's really good. And I don't remember it at all from the show. It's just something that like was,
yeah.
This is just a throwaway song that they put an awful lot of effort into. But that's the end of the Dalekker. He'd done it all so that he could just attack women. I mean, I feel like he could have done that without faking his death.
Yeah, but no one's suspecting.
So then, yeah, well, as you were saying earlier on,
the greatest trick the devil ever played was making the world think you were a dead pig.
A dead pig, man. As you were saying earlier on, it probably was like just hysteria. They were just freaking out saying that they were seeing pigs and stuff going everywhere. There were a lot of pigs around at the time. That probably helped.
No, I saw like the other day a video of a man who'd put about 6 foam legs in a costume to hang off of his dog.
Yeah.
So he would walk around like some kind of a like, giant spider
dog thing.
Chupacabra deal. And it was hilarious. He kept videoing other people's reactions to just like in a dimly lit street.
Yeah.
As someone's like putting out their trash and his dog just runs by and the person just starts sprinting off. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. That's pretty funny. Well, yeah, you mentioned chupacabras there. The Dalekker, well, no, I guess it doesn't fit the definition for a cryptid, which is a word I've learned recently.
Mm-hmm.
Just means a creature that some, then cryptozoologist is another term from that. So it's a cryptid is a creature that some non-mainstream zoologists think exists.
Losers.
Yeah. Crypto means secret. That's handy for cryptocurrency. It means secret currency. As in, how does it work? It's a secret. We're not going to tell you. But then when I was Googling cryptozoologist, one of the first questions that comes up, the prompts on Google is like, how much does a cryptozoologist make? And when I dropped into that, it said the salary for cryptozoologist in the US ranges from 10 grand to 230 grand.
That's a big
median
swing.
Salary is 43 grand. That's the main problem with the internet is that stuff like that exists. Because all I can think of is some idiot teenager showing that to their parents and being like, a cryptozoologist is not a job. It's just someone who believes in fucking Bigfoot. And it's, yeah, the median salary for being a lunatic is 50 grand.
That's not bad.
How would you make money off of that?
It doesn't matter. You're saying the median is that that's what people are making doing it.
No, that was the answer from Quora.
That's not true.
Like, there's not, because if you're a zoologist, that's a job. I'd say zoologists aren't making 50 grand.
You'd make t-shirts?
You could.
Brother bought a cool like a Bigfoot t-shirt for my nephew.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty cute.
It's pretty,
and
yeah,
his wife bought one for him that's Bigfoot being abducted by aliens.
Oh, no.
It's pretty fun.
That's a crossover event.
Yeah. It's like Alien versus Predator.
But, yeah, well, some the cryptids, you've already covered the olifish.
Mm-hmm.
The olifist.
Olifished.
The Dover coo.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones. After that, then the Dalekker, it turned out to be a man in a mask.
Mm.
But still, isn't that the creepiest story of all? Man.
In a mask.
Yeah. But yeah, that all happened around your house.
Yeah. I like that. I'm surprised I didn't hear about it at the time.
Yeah, it's not.
I was hoping at some point you were going to mention the ghost fox.
No, but it was a ghost pig that roamed the area for a while. Maybe after they killed the actual guy, he came back as a fox in some sort of cruel, unusual punishment.
Hmm. Should we go start hanging out around Cook Street wearing pig masks?
Yes, that seems like the next step. And then just get the shit kicked out of us.
Yeah, logically.
Yeah. We just skip the whole middle part and just show up in pig masks and have a blacksmith beat the shit out of us on day one. But, yeah.
Content.
That's a good story.
Yeah, no, it was very fun.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Enjoy Halloween.
Yeah. Happy Halloween.
Yes, we'll have an episode. The live episode's going to go up on the Patreon.
Yeah.
So you can go find that.
This episode happens to be out before Sunday.
It should be, because Kevin's going to edit it on the bus back to Dublin tomorrow.
Yes, sir. So then come down to the Halfpenny on Sunday for our Halloween comedy
spooktacular.
Special.
Spectacular.
You can dress up in a costume.
We will be.
Have fun with the boys.
Yeah, come down and say hello.
Yeah. Happy Halloween.
Woo. Good luck.